just who's become a really good friend of mine, Pete from the Pomo.
Hello, everybody. My name is Pete, and I am an alcoholic addict. And
why'd you say good luck?
And I like to, first of all, just welcome all the newcomers. You know what I mean? It's as you've seen, I took my 10-year chip, and it's one day at a time. And you know, I think I feel like I'm here just to let you know that the lowlifes have a chance, because I was that person. You know what I mean? And it was tough, because in my it wasn't in my vocabulary to surrender. You know, surrender was not in my books. You know, as a kid all the way up to adult. You know, I'd rather take an ass beating or whatever, but I'm not going to surrender. You know, it's just the way it was. And so here I am, and Vicky had asked me if I would come and share. You know, I was here about a month ago with one of the other guest speakers, and it's being of service. You know, I mean, this is part of Alcoholics Anonymous to me. You know, people stay sober in different ways. You know, sponsorship, secretaries, all kinds of different ways. You know, and whatever's your click that works for you, just keep it up. You know what I mean? My sobriety date is October 1st, 2005, and it's not my original one. I had 2 years prior to that. I faded in and out of this fellowship because of that surrender thing, you know. I actually started coming to meetings in 2003, and my very first meeting was in 1984. I was just telling him about it, and it was right here. And it was for my brother-in-law who got a DUI, and he needed a driver. And when I came in here, I stood up against that wall right there, and the deep smoking at that time in here. And I remember just looking around and going, man, what a bunch of fucking losers here. And I'm here today. You know what I mean? So watch what you say, you know what I mean? But I feel good to be here today, you know? I was born and raised in the city right here. Other than the new housing developments, I know pretty much every back street alley, you name it, rental house behind the house, whatever. I lived my life here, and it was a okay life, you know what I mean? My parents, I'll break it down for you a little bit. My parents, neither one of them drank or smoked. So, and we went to church every Sunday, holy roller stuff, you know. And how I became the way I am, I don't know. I really don't know. And when I first got sober, I tried to figure that out. I tried to go back in my mind. Where did I go bad, you know? And I was, because I'd always stereotype the alcoholic with that beanie and that trench coat, all scruffy looking, you know, urinated in Evans Park over there by where I was raised, underneath the tree. That, to me, was an alcoholic, you know what I mean? And so I said, oh, I was never that guy, you know what I mean, growing up. And so I started looking back, like I said, and now that I've been sober, I figured I was alcoholic right around second grade, and this is without alcohol. I can remember I used to hate going back to school, like in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, because that was the first week of school was like the show and tell. People would bring stuff, you know what I mean? And I can remember clearly this girl in second grade brought back this little carved bear from Lake Tahoe that they spent, you know, a week or two or all month, you know, in Tahoe in their cabin. And people came back with Mickey Mouse ears, and they went to Disneyland and the lake skiing. And I remember all kinds of fun stuff, you know. And I went to work out in the fields, in the local fields here with my parents, you know. And I wasn't about to bring strawberries and broccoli and cauliflower, you know what I mean? So that right there, now that I look back, I was different from them, I thought, you know what I mean? So I wanted to be like them, so I went to Disneyland too. I already started lying, you know what I mean? I have a granddaughter that's this age right now, that's 7, 8. And I'm thinking, man, I was already lying, you know? So you had alcohol and crystal meth to that? The man is going to light off, you know what I mean? So it just got worse and worse, you know? And so, like I said, I didn't want to be different. I don't like that feeling. I don't like being different or spotted out from a crowd, you know? So obviously, the people I hung out with pretty much looked and acted like me. You know what I mean? The people that you pull up next to on the car, you don't want to look over next to them because you don't know if they're going to pop on you or do something stupid, you know? I was that person, you know? So I felt accepted with these guys, you know what I mean? And what's weird is I I put those guys in that mentality, and I use it in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's weird. It's kind of like when you're gang-related. Well, I'm gang-related now. You know what I mean? I got people I can call right now. Hey, I need some help. Come over, you know, whatever, for my sobriety, and they're there. They're there like that. You know what I mean? I can call somebody and say, hey, man, my obsession is not that crazy right now for wanting to use or drink, but in the first, I can't remember how many years, I wanted to drink and use. You know what I mean? Anything would set me off. Anything would set me off, especially if I came to town. I lived in the Pomo, so when I crossed that bridge, I was looking for those alleyways. You know what I mean? I was looking for, oh, man, it wasn't good, you know. So I remember all the way to 2003 is when I first got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the way I was raised, my parents, old school Mexican, you don't seek professional help or you don't go to a doctor, you know what I mean? Yeah. Even if you had a compound fracture with the bone sticking out, my mom would wrap it with some shit and she would put some other stuff on it, and you know, and you'll be okay in the morning, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, mijo, let's go to the emergency room, you know what I mean? It wasn't like that, you know what I mean? And so for me to seek professional help, psychiatrist, Alcoholics Anonymous, it was out of my vocabulary, you know. So that was, I guess, showing weakness or something in my mind. You know what I mean? And so my life was starting to, and I'll have to admit it, I had a whole lot of fun with my alcoholism and drug abuse. I have to be honest with you guys, because of the fact that I didn't have a lot of yets, you know. I came close to being arrested, but I'd never been clicked up. I'd never seen the back of a cop car. I've never been incarcerated, never lost a job. I've only had three jobs in my whole life. I've always kept my work ethics were always good. You know, I always made it to work even if I was smashed, but I made it, you know what I mean? And so going to see professional help was just out of my vocabulary, you know? So what was happening to me was my insides, my soul was getting blackened, you know. It was getting really, really dark. I felt like, I always shared that, I felt like, you know, on that movie Ghost, when the bad guys died, those goblins that went down into the ground, that's how I felt inside on a daily basis. I felt darkness, you know what I mean? And it was all the other stuff that goes along with the alcohol and drug abuse. You know, the family afterwards, they talk about in the book, that thing, you know, all the shit that I put on, you know, and I would justify it thinking I was, you know, I always provided, you know, a home, all the nice things. I was that kind of person, I guess you'd say, hey, look at me, I'm over here, look what I'm doing, something good, you know what I mean? I put my kids through St. Patrick's up in Arroyo Grande, you know, K-8, did all the community work, look at me, I'm helping out, you know, doing this and that function. And then after the function, you know, I was out there hitting it, drinking and using it. I was the heckling Jekyll and Hyde guy, you know. I was that guy. And so I go to this place over here by the mall. It was an outpatient program. Well, first I'll rewind it a little bit. I went to a psychiatrist, and I remember I had badass insurance. I worked for the Teamsters, and I had badass insurance. So I go to this office, and this guy had all these degrees on the wall, badass cherry wood furniture, and it's all dark and nice, maroon leather, diamond type seats, chairs, you know. And I was looking around while he was in, and I was going, shit, this guy's certified motherfucker right here, you know what I mean? So I'm sitting down, and we start talking, and he goes, did your parents ever drink? Do your parents drink? I remember. And I go, no, they don't drink. And then he goes, well, do your grandparents on your mother's side drink? And I go, well, I don't know. I've never seen my grandfather drink, but I don't know. Maybe when he was younger, he might have. Now, how about on your father's side? Well, I don't know. My father's side of the family, they're from the Philippines. So he's like, okay. So then he's marking off this stuff, you know. And then he goes, well, do you have any questions? And I go, well, yeah, I got a question for you. I told him, have you ever, like smoked like a gram of crystal meth and drank like a bottle of tequila and stayed up for like 4 or 5 days? And the dude fucking guy looked at me like, you know, and he's like, oh, well, no, you know. And I go, and that was it. That's all I needed to hear. he couldn't relate to me.
Right.
You know, I joke about it, and I heard a lot of laughter because I know probably somebody did that, right? So he had it on paper. He was good. He was a psychiatrist, you know, but he wasn't one of us, you know. I asked him a few other questions, you know, about it, and he just didn't relate to me. So I left. After that, I left, you know, and I don't even know what became of that. I don't even know if he mailed me something or something, but I didn't go back. And so I figured, well, you know what, yeah, this is a bunch of bullshit. Professional help is a bunch of bullshit. So I started again, drinking again, and tried to control it myself, just like the book says, you know, maybe just on the weekends, you know. And I did, and see, I can handle a couple. My drink is top shelf tequila. It was like two dose, like a double shot, mm-hmm. you know, and then like a sip of soda, because I want to get hammered right now, and I don't want to be going to that bathroom back and forth all night. I want to get twisted. So then I would have a few shots, you know, at a barbecue or something, and everything was cool that night, and I drove home, and everything's cool. See, I can control this, you know. And then I'd do it again, and then all of a sudden it was a couple more double shots, and then let's go get another bottle type of deal, you know what I mean? And then go to the Connect house or whatever, you know, and then be out for 2-3 days, you know? And then and I was supposed to just go get a pack of cigarettes or something, you know what I mean? And I didn't come home for like 2-3 days. So it got me again, you know? It was tricky. It was cunning, baffling, powerful, you know? And so I started unraveling again because I was loosely wrapped, so now I'm starting to unravel, you know? And so I'm looking up and I'm talking with my union rep, and they go, well, they have these programs you can go to, you know, for people that have alcohol and drug addictions. And so I'm thinking, oh shit, I gotta get family off my back, you know. I gotta massage it over with my boss, you know. He was a partier guy too, but he kind of figured I was getting a little bit too much off the edge, you know. But I was still going to work, so he was still with me, you know. So I go, okay. So I found this outpatient program that's over here by the mall that I would go to, like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I go to the first day I go there, I call the guy, make the appointment, and I go there, and I don't want to be drinking because he's probably going to smell, so I hit the pipe, right? So then I go in there, and I'm all like all happy and everything. And I sit down, and the guy's on the phone, and then I'm there, you know, looking around and all jittery and shit. And so then he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm great. He actually is one of us. He is one of us. And he goes, my name's Greg, and your name's Dear Pete, right? And I go, yeah, I'm Pete. And so then he starts asking me a few questions, and he picked up that I was on a sick one, right? And he goes, you know what? He goes, you're high right now, huh? And I look at him, I go, no. While I was chewing air bubble gum, you know what I mean? So I go, no, you know, I'm not fucking high right now. And he goes, you know what? He goes, if you don't leave right now and come back when you're sober, he goes, I'll call the cops right now. He goes, I know you're holding right now. Fuck. I go, right, man, whatever, I'm out of here. So I leave. And the old lady's in the car, and it was quick. That was probably only like 20 minutes I was in and out for this intake deal, you know? So she goes, how was it? How'd it go? And I go, you know what? He was really busy, and he said to come back in a few days. Fucking lying again, you know what I mean? So then she goes, oh, okay. And my wife, she was, you know, God bless her heart, put up with my ass. She was really naive to as far as not the alcohol behaviors, but the drug addict behaviors, you know. And so she didn't know I was on that. So anyways, I come back in a few days, and we start this process all over again. And so we do it, and so I started going into that outpatient program Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So and this time I was like, man, yeah, I want to do this, you know what I mean? I want to do this. So I started going there, and then it was like a little mini, it wasn't AA, but it was kind of like a little mini AA meeting. You know, there were probably, it was real, real cozy. It was probably about maybe 8 of us in there, and this one had everybody's addiction in there. One guy I remember was on pills, and then another gal, she was on heroin, and then one guy was an alcoholic, and then I was multi whatever you got, you know, chocolate, I don't give a shit, you know what I mean? And there's always a mixture of all of us in there, right? And so, and they would talk about it, and they would share, you know, and let their, you know, feelings out, and, oh, I did good this weekend. Say Monday, you know, they go, I didn't drink or nothing, and I'm like, fucking dude, man, it's sad. So then, and I think I could control my behaviors, you know? So I started going, and I started getting used to it, you know? I go, hey, this is pretty all right. I like this, you know. I get to get out of the house. So then towards the end of this little program I was doing there, probably a couple months before it was over, especially on the on Friday, he would let us out early as long as we came here. On Friday nights, there's an 8 o'clock meeting here, I think, or it used to be. And we'd come here, and then we'd sit in here, and that's when I said, shit, I know where that place is. I remember going back there in 1984 with my brother-in-law. And we'd come in here, and I'd hear people's stories, you know, and a few of them, I heard my story, like they say, you know what I mean? The guy that had the problems, like just like me. So I started, and I felt good. I felt good, you know, that I was coming here. So then, you know, the good guy, bad guy, in my mind, the committee, a couple times it would be like, I'm crossing that Samaria Bridge, and I'm going there, and I headed to the mall over there, and then automatically it just, and I ended up in the northwest corner of town. You know what I mean? There I was. Hey, what's up, bro? And, but I got to do this on time. You know, I got to do this for like an hour and a half only. I only get the party for an hour and a half and then go home. So then I do the party thing, and then I go back, and then Mama say, hey, how was the meeting? And I go, oh, it was awesome. It was good, man. Mike talked about serenity, and Bill talked about, you know, forgiveness. It was all good. It was all good. She's all cool. That one, I went under the radar on that one. The next time, she called the counselor on that Friday because she figured something out. So then I come back, and how was it? I go, oh, man, fucking Bill talked about, you know, being a service, and it was good. She goes, you're lying. What do you mean I'm lying? She goes, I called Greg. You didn't even show up. You know what my answer was? He's full of shit. You know what I mean? She goes, you haven't showed up for the last two Fridays. Oh, man, and that look in her face, you know, I'll never forget that. I was just like, fuck. So then I remember going back to that program, and I go, hey, man, if I can't get sober on this deal here, well, what's my next step? What's the next step? You know, what's the next step? And he said, well, the next step, he goes, if you can't do it with the outpatient program, he goes, you're going to have to go to an inpatient program. And I go, I'm down for that. What's the inpatient program? He goes, you go for 28 days and blah, 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 and no communication with your family, with nobody, and you do the deal there in a place, in a facility. So I go, okay. So I go, I had that in my safety net in the back of my mind. So I'm trying to do this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday deal over here, and I failed again. So then when I failed, I instantly told my wife, I go, you know what, I think I need to go to inpatient program. And she goes, what's that? And I go, I guess that's the place where I go for 28 days. And I've heard about it, and I even saw the movie about 28 days, you know. And I go, I guess I go there, and I live there. So, you know, okay. She says, okay, well, do you think that will help? And I go, I got to try it, you know. So I guess they had one here in Santa Maria there on Morrison. I go, well, I can't do a local one because I'll fly a kite and I'll get some shit in there, like right now, easy, whether it's brownies or whatever. You know, I'll get some dope in there or something. So I go, I can't do it here in town. Someone will see me. I go, boom, I'll be over there at Buena Vista Park over there a party, you know. So I found one in Santa Cruz, and I it was a place called Janus. And at this point, I was really, really wanting to get sober, man. I wanted to do this deal because my heart was getting dark and really bad, like I said, you know. Still yet, the family was still there hanging on. I still had my job. Hadn't been arrested yet or nothing. So I go to Santa Cruz for 20 days, and I remember doing the intake. And so they take everything from you. And I had my little suitcases and everything, you know, packed with all my shit. And I do the intake. And then they go, okay, what happens here is the newest guy, he bunks with the guy that's been here the longest, it's almost going to leave. And I go, okay. So then they go, okay, you get room number 8 or whatever it was. It was a co-ed, but women on one side, men on the other. And so then I go, okay. So I do the intake, and I go there to my room with my little suitcases, and I walk in. And then all I see is a bald head with a swastika tattooed on the back. And I'm looking, and I remember just turning around and walking back out. with my suitcases, and I go back to the counselor. I go, hey, bro, I think you got me in the wrong room. And he goes, no, you go to room 6 or whatever it was. I go, fuck. So then homeboy didn't even see me because he had his back to me. So then I come back the second time, and now this time we make eye contact. And we're looking straight at each other, and I got my suitcases down, and I go, hey, bro, how you doing, man? And he just kind of gives me that number, you know, and then so I go, you know. So, I'm pretty street smart, you know, so I already figured out what side he was on, you know what I mean? You know, so I just put my stuff over here, and then just sat down and just kind of like just sat there, you know, and then he walked out, boom, and then I'm like, fuck. So I remember that night sleeping with all my clothes on and a pencil in my hand. Against the wall like that, you know what I mean? Because I was ready for that. There's going to be a fucking brawl up in this joint here. Something's going to happen. So, and I'm sure he was thinking the same damn thing. So then, everything's cool, and we both wake up in the next morning, right? So then, we get up, and they go, okay, they go, meditation. It was like 6:30 or something. And so then, I go, and I come out, and they go, you here for meditation? I go, oh, I thought you said medications. I wanted to get something to get high with, you know what I mean? He goes, no, meditation. He goes, anybody wants to come to meditation, we sit all sit in the room, and we just, you know, meditate for a while. I go, oh, okay, well, what's that shit? You know, so I go back to the room. So then I started getting in, and in that 28 days, I did 58 meetings. They gave me a little cute little certificate that I did 58 meetings in those 28 days. So if you do the math, that's pretty much 2 at least since the day I walked, got in there. You know what I mean? Boom. I was in an actual AA meeting. And in Santa Cruz, they're pretty gangster. They're like 150, 200 people. They're huge. And then we went to Men's Stag. And I highly recommend men for men go to Men's Stag. Women, same thing, you know. And so we started going to these meetings. And what we would do is we would have to call people and say, hey, bro, can you pick us about 4 guys to go to our meeting tomorrow? Yeah. Hey, can you pick up about 6 of us? You know, because I can't remember how many it was. And yeah, and give me your number. And it would start you in your recovery, you know, of asking for phone number, asking for help. So they asked me to do that. So I said, okay, cool. So I started asking guys for the numbers, and I get their phone number. And then they go, okay, Pete, it's about 2 hours before the meeting. Why don't you go ahead and call those guys and line it all up? I go, oh, okay. I tell the counselor, so I go in the room, and I'm calling my buddies out on the phone, you know what I mean? Because we had no phone service, no phone access or nothing. So I'm calling out my homeboy, hey, what's going on over there in town, bro? What's new, man? And, oh, I'll talk to you later. And then I fucking, you know, be calling, hey, can you pick up a couple guys? So that was my access, you know, that was the hustle right there in me. That was the hustle in me right there, you know. I got in that way, you know. So then, and like everything else, you know, I started helping out the guy in the kitchen. He was a cool man. And of course, you know, I'm going to get extra portions. I'm going to get, you know, little snacky snacks because they don't give you snacky snacks there. Coffee, they only give you coffee in the morning, and then the rest of it is decaf shit. So I was having to hook up where I'd have coffee whenever I wanted because homeboy was cool with me because I helped him out. I was being of service, you know. And so everything was good, and we're going to meetings, blah, blah. And I get out of there from Santa Cruz, and I got to... When you live with people like that, you get to know some people, you know what I mean? You get to know some people. You talk some deep stories, you know what I mean, when you're sitting one-on-one in a room or something, or out on a walk or something. So I got friendship there. I got some people that I related to, you know what I mean, that I could really, really, really relate to because, like that guy I was telling you about, that counselor didn't understand about drug abuse and alcoholism. These guys did. And then I would hear some of their shit, and I go, man, they should be in here, and they get a fuck up. So then I come back, and I'm pumped up AA. I mean, I'm pumped. I wanted AA tattoos, fucking jewelry, AA perfect plate. I was like, fucking AA, yeah, you know what I mean? I want to do this shit. You know what I mean? And so I go, my home group is the Mesa group there on Mesa View Drive, and so I go there, and I'm looking in the window, you know, and like, find the schedule, you know what I mean? And so I started going to the 5:30 meeting that they had there, you know? So I wake up, I go to work, and then I go to the 5:30 meeting, and I get in the 5:30 meeting, and I'm fired up, you know what I mean? And I'm waiting for them to ask me to share. So, and nobody was going to ask me to share, you know what I mean? Because I was like fresh fish. So then I started looking around, I go, there's a fucking click here. He asked him to share every single time. He asked her to share every single time. She asked him every single time. I mean, because I had already counted the ceiling and floor tiles. So now I'm noticing, man. I'm looking around. You know, I'm on the radar. I'm checking everything out. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, that guy hasn't showered for 3 days over there. And the same little circle. Well, that same little circle, now that I look back, they had sobriety, you know what I mean? They had the good shit with them, you know what I mean? The other people were fresh fish like me, so you don't want to hear about my, you know, stupid stories. So I got my resentment. That was my first resentment. I go, excuse me, I ain't coming to this meeting no more. So then I find the 7 a.m. meeting. That's the one I go to now to this day. And I started going to that one, and they're a little bit more loving. They're probably a clique too, you know what I mean? But they're really, I don't know, they're pretty damn, they're all neat, but I got home there, you know what I mean? These people were loving, not like, they're all loving, but they really cared for me there, you know what I mean? They gave me hope, you know, some of the people there, and some of the old timers. There's a few guys there that are passed away, but they were badass. So I got a sponsor everyone get a sponsor, read that book. And I'm okay. So I get the sponsor, I get my first sponsor, and he was here from Santa Maria, and I met him at the men's stag meeting over there at the church. So I started calling him. I'd call him like at 6:30 in the morning before I go into my meeting. I go, hey, what's up, bro? And he's like, hey, what's up? He got this, you know, blue collar, I mean, this white collar job, you know, where he probably starts at 10 or something. So then he goes, this is Pete, man, what are you doing? I'm all fired up, already I had coffee and shit. So he's like, hey, man, don't call me this early, man, my wife gets pissed. So then that was my second resentment. Okay, no worries, I won't call you no more. So then my sponsor now, Jack, there at the Mesa, this guy was coming in every morning, this old guy, and I'm going, shit, this is a chair. I won't even have to waste a dime because this guy's coming every morning and I could just talk to him one-on-one. And then I don't have to call him at work or after work because we already had this little spiel, you know, in the morning. So it worked out. It worked out. I go, and he get in the car. Every morning, so I get in that car and I sit with them and he starts talking to me. And, okay, this is what I do because I'm not a marriage counselor, because I'm not a bank, old school guy, you know, and he goes, this is how it's going to be. And when I ask you to do something, you do it. And I, yeah, okay, I want to get this, man. I'll do it. So there I go. I started to be a service, you know. I would go in there. I would fill up the sugars. I'd make the coffee. I wouldn't clean the bathroom, but pretty much everything else in that. So then like, got busy there doing that, you know. And I remember two of the old guys there, Ken and Bob, one day before I, because I'd wait there like a little puppy because I didn't have the key, you know. And a few times I did a B&E and go through the window, you know what I mean. So they gave me the key. They go, hey, Pete, come here, I want to talk to you. And I go, yeah. And they go, here, we want to give you this. And they gave me the key to the place. And this is where I get emotional. I start to cry right there. Because they started to trust me. Not too many people trusted me before, you know. And they gave me that key. So I didn't have to wait for them anymore. So to this day, I get there like a quarter after 5:30, and that's this guy right here. I go in and I make the coffee, I do all my stuff. It's been 10 years now, you know, almost 10 years. And I sit there in the dark and I just meditate, you know. I watch the world wake up, you know what I mean, right there on Highway 1. I see the cars start going on and the sun coming up, other members start coming in. And that trust they gave me was gangster right there. That was something that you cannot buy. Those are like, that's like a Visa commercial right there, you know what I mean? Especially with guys with some double-digit sobrieties that were serious players, you know what I mean? It's just like when I was a kid, you know, the older guys in the gangs, the veteranos, those guys you looked up to. These guys I looked up to. Because these guys, they had it going on, you know? And so, there I go. I started doing that. And then my sponsor, he's a H&I guy. He's a service guy. So he got me to go to the county jails, and I've been going to the county jails for 7 years now. And me and him and this old man named Doc, we would go every Monday, fourth Monday of the month. It was their meeting at the time, you know what I mean? And I would go to their house, and they'd pick me up, you know, in their little Prius. And I'm thinking, Doc had like 43 years. Jack had like almost 30 years or some shit. And I'm in the back seat, I'm going, this is going to be a good fucking ride from here to San Luis. I go, I'm going to get some sober shit up in here. I'm going to be fucking packing my ammo. These guys are going to give me all the secrets to staying sober. I mean, fucking almost, you know, 70 years of sobriety. I go, this is going to be good. So I'm in the back seat, you know, we're going this little Prius, you know, we're going. And they're talking about how they couldn't take a shit, how they couldn't eat. All the health issues, up there and back. Oh, man, I got to eat this. I got to eat prunes. Bullshit, man. You need to give me the secret about staying sober here, you know? They never, very seldom said, you know, you need to do step this. Nothing, dude. They was talking about how they, oh, man, I'm like, this is not what I signed up for, you know what I mean? But I would go there every freaking Monday, you know, fourth Monday of the month. Call them up, be there. And it probably looked like I was carjacking them if we were going down the freeway, you know what I mean? Just kill a white guy, you know what I mean, in the back seat, you know what I mean? But we would go there, and I'll tell you what, this is for me speaking only. It's the best thing for me to stay sober, because I'll tell you what, when that Sallyport door closes, it's fucking locked. Yeah. It's not like, wait a minute, maybe it's not locked. Let me go check. No, that thing clunks. Shut, locked, both of them. And you go in there, and you get in this room, and the guys are right there with you. You're not on the phone. You're there with them, and you're telling your experience, strength, and hope. And I could see that look in their eyes when I go there. Not on all of them, on some of them. You know, some guys are going, they just want to get out of the room for an hour. Some guys are there. There, and I bring schedules. I bring those grapevines with the meeting. The meeting's in a magazine, you know. I bring those. I go, don't worry. I took all the staples out. You guys can't make no tattoo machines with these. I cut out all the dirty pictures so you guys, you know. And I told them, I go, I don't know if you guys got time to read here, but if you got a chance, you might want to check these out, you know. And they laugh, and they go, you know. And I tell you what, the payday for me, I've had about maybe in the 7 years I've been going, I've had about 5 guys. Go to that Mesa meeting and come up on me and say, hey, you remember me? And I'm thinking, I don't remember. Who knows what I did when I was out there, you know what I mean? So I go, no, I don't remember. He goes, yeah, you came to the county jail that one time. I go, oh, shit, no wonder you're not wearing orange. I didn't know it, recognize you. And they go, yeah. He goes, I'm here. They haven't stayed, but they made it there. They know what it is. They didn't stay. I don't know if they moved. Went back in or whatever, but they made it there. That was payday for me right there. That was like getting a big fat check. Because for you to say something and to have somebody go check it out, because for me, you know, late night commercials, all that shit, I got to see it, touch it, of what's happening to buy it. You know what I mean? These guys were buying it. They bought it. They came in, you know? And that's what I was learning right there, was being service, you know? I go to this men's retreat also. You know, and with Archie and a bunch of the old school guys there from the Mason and guys from here go, you know, and that is gangster ass shit right there too, because when you hang out with some guys for the weekend, you get to know them really, really well too, you know. And so that's what I started doing. I started being of service. And like I said, there's a little recipe for people do different things to stay sober. Whatever it is, just stay with it, you know what I mean? I've, for some reason, and I don't question why, I've had a few guys ask me to be their sponsor, but then they just disappeared, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm just not that sponsor guy, you know what I mean? But I'm that guy that goes to the county jail and to the hospital, and I'm that guy. So, you know, everyone has their own little role here in this thing, you know? I can't quote page whatever out of the big book. I read it once because my sponsor made me to do it. You know, we talked about it and everything. I did my steps with them, and once I did that, it started happening, you know what I mean? And like double shots of tequila and methamphetamine, you want it right now? That's what I wanted my sobriety, but it didn't happen that way. It slowly did it, you know what I mean? For me, the amount of time I have is to myself is just another day, you know what I mean? Because in the period of time I've been here, I've seen guys with way more time than myself get snuffed out by alcoholism. People that had 30 years. I know a guy, Wendell, that goes up there. He had 31 years, and he was in a motel in Anaheim, thought he could have a six-pack, and the dude ended up out there, and now he's got like, I don't know, 15 years again now. But yeah, I've seen people not make it back in the period of time in the room that I got to know these people. Hey, what happened to, what's her name? No, you didn't hear it? Oh, no. Oh, man. So, you know what? Nobody's safe. That's what pisses me off. I truly hate alcoholism and drug abuse. When I see stuff on Facebook, you know, with people that are all swacked out, you know what I mean? I look at that and I'm like, it's sad, man. It's sad to see that, you know, or people that are drunk to get in these accidents, you know, it's like, it's ruthless, man. Because like I've heard in the rooms that I've been here, all the times I've been here, it's the only disease that tells you don't have this disease. How fucking dirty is that? You know what I mean? Either you got it or you don't. You know what I mean? And in halfway through my sobriety, I thought I had it. I got to the point where, you know, if I ain't going to the 7 a.m. today, you know what I mean? I'm cool. And I didn't go. And then all of a sudden, I didn't, I don't feel right. So I went back, you know what I mean? Because I thought 5 years has got to be good enough, dude, of not drinking and using. Because I don't like Jones for a drink or dope or whatever. But it hits you in the back of the head when you ain't looking. That's what's going to happen. Because that's what happened to me for those 2 years, you know? And that's how but what got me in here to stay is that on Monday night, they have a meeting in the Pomo, and they hand out a little book, and you put your name and your sobriety date. Well, the last time, until 2005, I went through that book when I went there, and my name must have been fucking crossed out like 10 times. And I felt like I was letting you guys down. Because I know this works. I've seen it in the amount of period of time that people have been here, you know? And I thought I felt, and I don't like letting people down, you know what I mean? That's not the way life is. You're not supposed to let people down, or a program like this that could save lives, you know? And I felt like I was letting you guys down. So I said, you know what? I see my name scratched out. I turned the page, and it was scratched out. This time I put October 1st, 2005, and then now it hasn't been scratched out, you know what I mean? And it's one day at a time. That's all it is, though. It's one day at a time, but it's just every day. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know if anybody got anything out of that message there, but I tell you what, this is the baddest thing I've ever had. You know, it's one of the toughest things I've ever done. You know what I mean? Because it's the way how tricky it is. You know what I mean? But find whatever your recipe is to do. You know, there's your basic recipe, and then whatever you want to add out to your recipe to make it you sober, do it. But just don't give up, man, because you know what? You're going to inspire somebody. Somebody's going to hear your message, and they're going to say, damn, if that guy can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. Because I'd go to meetings sometimes, you know, sniveling about my Harley because I had head gasket blown on or something, and I'm all, fuck, man, I can't ride my Harley, man. I'm fucking bummed out. And then some gal will come in, she goes, I just lost my daughter to cancer or to this disease. I remember a gal saying that, and I'm like, give me my shit back. You know, my life ain't that bad, but she didn't drink through that. You know what I mean? She didn't drink through losing a child, and you're not supposed to lose a child before, you know, you die, you know. So I hear all these stories sometimes at the most weirdest time, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty gangster right there. If you don't drink over losing something like that, or getting a notice of a serious disease, all the other stuff is all material stuff, but your health and your family, to me, is number one. You know, my family, the way I'm raised, my culture, family is number one. It's number one till you die. You know what I mean? No matter how stupid shit you did, you know what I mean? They're still your family. You know what I mean? And you may, sometimes you don't forgive them as easy, but you know what? My family now has trust. I have sister-in-law that say, hey, can you talk to my son? They think I'm Benny Hinn or something, where I can just go, boom, you're sober. Boom, you're sober, you know what I mean? Because they see the turnaround in my app. Because my app is not good. But for them to ask me to talk to them, and I go, you know what, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will listen to them, and I will talk with them, but it's up to them to get sober, you know? And until then, I'd go talk to them and everything, and I go, hey, what's going on, man? If you ever need to call me, you know, give me a holler. You know, I'm there. You know, I've done everything you've done, you know, pretty much. Maybe some of those new shit that kids come out with now might be a little bit different, but most of the stuff, steal your wallet and help you look for it, that kind of shit. You know what I mean? I've done all that crap, you know, all the street stuff. I tried to hustle this. That's why I had a problem. I tried to hustle AA. You cannot hustle AA. There's no damn way you can hustle. I tried. I tried to drink and use and come here and try to be a member of this, and you cannot do it. Believe me, I tried it, dude. One way or another, you're going to slip in between time, and you're going to, like, it's going to kick your ass. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I just here to be of service. When Big asked me to share, you know, come share, I said sure. And because this is part of my recovery right here. You know what I mean? I remember the very first time that I got asked to do something, I was like 2 years sober, and it was at the convention in San Luis. They're up at the vets building up there, and they wanted me to read chapter 3 in front of 600 people. And remember this kid that didn't like to share when he was little and all that shit? And I obviously said, yeah, I'll do it. And then I started projecting. I go, shit, it's 2 weeks away. I got to, because I've been to the convention, I got to get up in the front over a microphone touching one to it. And I'm like, fuck. So then as I got closer and closer, I started thinking, I go, you know what? These guys are nothing but losers like me. So if I screw up, ain't no big deal, you know what I mean? Because I didn't like getting laughed at, you know, as a kid or you know. And so I said, sure, I'll do it. So once I got up there, I was like, hey, my name is Pete, and I'm an alcoholic. And I read chapter 3, and it was no big deal. Prior to that, I was shoot the man. I didn't like that, you know what I mean? So now I do things that I normally don't do. I've heard some of the guys say, you know, you just quit drinking, and it just changed your whole entire way of living. That's what I'm working on, is the change in my entire way of living, which is hard. You know what I mean? I go shopping with my wife to buy clothes, and she gets like 15, 20 garments and only buys two when we get to the counter. You know what I mean? Huh? You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. You know? And I do that now today. My granddaughter, I take her on a bike ride, you know, on my daughter's bike with the girl's frame. And, you know what I mean? I don't give a shit who sees me today. I really don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Hey, I seen Petey on a girl's bike, you know, pink ladies. Whatever, you know what I mean? I'm sober today. I sleep good today. I don't look over my shoulder today. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of nothing no more. The only thing is alcoholism, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm just really, really, really grateful to be here this evening. And I think that's all I got tonight. So thank you.
Let's give you another round of applause.